for your presence here this morning. Thank you. Thank you for returning and listening a little bit more about this series called Stewardship, and where we break it down into your time, your treasure, and your talents. And last week we talked about time. We talked about that there is no way in the world that you can save it, that you can bottle it up, that you can reserve it and hold it over to the next day. You know, we talked about God doesn't give rollover minutes. And no matter who we are, no matter what we do, no matter if we're retired and enjoying a different season of life, and trust me, I understand, because you're retired, it doesn't mean you're doing nothing. Some of you are more busy retired. I'm okay with that. As you serve your time here, and that sounds like you're in prison, but you're really not. You're giving to the Lord. But we all have, is it 10,080 minutes a week to serve? To really to live our lives. And it's not, again, we can't save it, but we can manage it. And so how are we managing our responsibilities and our times to really to spend it and to with the things that are most important? Our family, our friends, serving in areas where you're just gifted to make a difference. And so it's not just to save time for the sake of, oh, I got nothing to do, but it's to save time so God can redeem the time and use it for his glory. And so today we talk about treasure. The bottom line is we are talking about money today. And just to say money in church seems, he actually said the word, money. Yes, we are talking about money. And we are talking about that, again, our time is to be redeemed for God. Our money is really God's money to be redeemed for his purposes. And money is one of the major topics in the Bible. And yet somehow we have almost talked ourselves out of talking about money, because for some people that's a very tender subject. And so I am aware of that, and I will just trust that you will allow God to speak to you today as we look at his word and talk about money. Let's pray. Lord, we continue to talk about what it means to follow you with our time, with our treasure, and with our talents. I pray for those who may already be digging into their heels and closing off their hearts out of a fear of hearing from you. I pray that the people here will be bringing their complete fears to you, their anger about life, maybe their disappointment about relationships, and to know that you can bring healing to our deepest wounds. Use the rest of our time together. Use the thoughts that are rolling around in the minds of these, your people, and use the words that come out of my mouth to be acceptable in your sight and to lead us down the path of this conversation that's a sensitive subject to many people. In your name I pray, amen. I really want to start off this whole subject, this whole, Dwight, are you okay? Did I scare you already? Oh, okay, I'll let you go, Dwight. Good job. And when I call him, I'm thinking, oh no, what's he going to say? Thank you, Dwight. Okay, I'm going to just start off today with looking. It's at page 439 in the Bibles and the chair backs in front of you. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Some people have claimed this verse as their life verse, meaning as they have read throughout the Bible, and as they think about the different passages, many people say, this is the one that I resonate with the most. And so here it is, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's on the screen. You can swipe to it or look in those Bibles in your pews. No, not pews. We don't have pews. We have chairs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And again, I memorize it with the ending being, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. People, this says, in all of your ways. And that's the whole idea of this stewardship series, is in all of our ways. It's in our time, it's in our treasure, and it's in our talents. In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he will make our path straight. And really, what we're talking about is discipleship. Again, our whole series, stewardship is your time, your talent, and your treasure. And sometimes that can be a little foggy for people, so what does all that mean? The idea of stewardship, the idea of being a disciple, again, your time, your talent, and your treasure. And depending on where you're, what season of life you're in, you will vary as to, boy, you're hitting it home on this one or you're not. And so depending on where you're at in life, you know, you may be doing absolutely fine with this whole idea about money, or maybe you're not. So I want to just define a couple words that we use often in church. And one of them is the word tithe. You know, we say it often before an offering, giving your tithes and offerings. And so really, the definition of tithe is 10%. And so the idea is that you are giving 10% of your income to the church so God can use it in a way locally to make a difference. If you just drop in a couple bucks, well, I guess if you made $20, that would be your tithe. But if you're making more than that and you just go to grab whatever's left in your wallet, my guess is that's probably not a tithe of your income. And when we talk about tithe, let's understand here that, well, let's just look at another verse to help explain tithing. It's Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. It says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Do you catch that? Everything from the land belongs to the Lord. We're to trust the Lord in everything with all of our heart. We'd been living here just a few months. And my daughter, Mackenzie, said, Dad, there's this candy I can't find. And so as any good dad, I went to the Ralphs and the Vaughns and the CVSs trying to figure out, where can I get this? Oh, and I forgot to bring it up here to me. Anyway, and where can I get this candy? Thank you, Ryan. And I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. And so I finally found the candy. And she was thrilled. She was grateful. I bought her 4 packs, big spender that I am. And it's this Hi-Chew. And so we're driving around, and she left a pack of it, or half a pack, in the car. And like any good dad, I tried it, and I thought, oh, this is good. And I tried the next piece and the next piece, and I basically finished off the pack. Well, I unfortunately told her that. And you would have thought I had just killed a new puppy in front of her. I mean, she just freaked out. And what right do I have to finish her candy? And she just went, I'm thinking, there must be something else going on here. You know, she just went on and on. And like in one of my more proud parenting moments, maybe you've said the same thing, I bought you that candy. But you gave it to me. It was mine. You can't. I go, in fact, I bought you everything you're wearing. I bought you everything in your bedroom. You know, and you have been, maybe you haven't been there, and I'll go to confession. But it's like, it all belongs. If without me, you'd have nothing. And if we were honest, we've all of you who are parents have probably felt that. That's what tithing is. It all come. Everything we have comes from God. Everything. He's just asking for us to give back a portion as a reminder, as a thank you for providing everything. Now, you're lucky because today, after the service, you're not going to get a pack of this, but you'll get a piece of this as you leave. So you not only learn about money, but you learn about high chews, which is a very good candy. And just for you know, so you know, you can pick it up at Costco in a huge pack. So, but you know, everything we have comes from God. And for any of us who have been sick or have lost a loved one, everything from our breath to our life, everything is a gift from God. But somehow we've decided, oh, everything but my money. Because I work hard for my money, and therefore it's my money. But we forget that God's given us the gifts that we have to earn the money to begin with. And so in reality, it is all a gift from God. Amen. You got it. And people, we need to understand, though, that is a traditional view of money and a tithe. And that there are other Christians who love God deeply, who have written books against the tithe, that will say that's an Old Testament standard of an economic system that we no longer have. So don't make people feel guilty by saying they should be, and if you're not, to be working toward the tithe, because it just doesn't make sense in today's economy. And they're taking their arguments from page 807 in those Bibles in front of you, 2 Corinthians 9, and there are several verses I'm going to read through that for you from 2 Corinthians 9, and they're going from the perspective of it's not the tithe, but it's from the abundance, how I have been blessed, that's how I give. Okay, let's listen to the scripture where there were, trust me, folks, there are books written on this. And so, again, there isn't a we're right and you're damned wrong and you're going to hell if you don't do it one way or another. It's we need to understand as believers, people interpret the Bible in some different ways. You need to understand how we're looking at this from the perspective of new life and from the perspective of what we would say is God's calling on us. So let's look at it again, 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Each of you should give what you have, what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And verse 11 is, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, that means the church, but it is also overflowing to many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So again, traditionally the Old Testament tithing is where I shared from from the Old Testament. And the new one is from several verses. These are just some of them from the New Testament. Again, the tithe is 10% of your income. The 2 Corinthians New Testament is you give from your heart as you have been blessed. But I think what happens if we've taken that stand is that if you read through that whole passage, folks, people are giving to everything and anything. They are just piling the money to the needs as God leads them. And if I've taken this as approach, I tell you, my heart can be stingy a lot. I wouldn't always trust my heart to give out of the blessings given to me, because I can justify not giving pretty easily. And so let's just boil it down here, if that's okay. Either way, our giving produces joy. You know, if you've been ever unemployed or gone through a season, with my wife South, we went through just a short season where it's like, Lord, this, I just unable to. I didn't feel guilty. The Lord knows I'm good for it. And when the tide changed, and I'm sure in some of your lives it's that. But for me, the tide didn't change because I'm not giving because, oh, I decided I think I needed that new car. I'm going to spend $550 a month on a car payment versus giving to the Lord. But when our situation changed and I was once again able to tithe, it does feel so good to drop that check in the offering plate. Back then, there wasn't online giving. Or to go online with my phone, and in the matter of seconds, I can transfer funds to the church. There's just something, for me, it's something good. And what it does is it says, God, this is for you to use, and I don't have any control over that. So it is also a lesson in losing our control to say, Lord, I trust you to move in your leadership to use this appropriately. Yeah, I may not like the color, I may not like this or that, but that isn't my decision to make, Lord. You're bigger than me. You're bigger than my desires. It's you decide how this is going to be used for your kingdom. Psychologist and a believer, Henry Cloud, says this about giving. There is no such thing as a selfish, happy person. When you give to others, the same regions of the brain light up as they do when you are having good food or good sex. He's a psychologist. So this gives you good reason to go out and have a great lunch. It's just going to make you feel happy. And I'm not going to touch the other side of that sentence. But I think you get the point. If, again, people, it all goes back to the heart, doesn't it? It really does. And so this idea of giving is yet confusing. Because for some of us, we grew up where it's 10%. When I was in high school, my first job at a bank in town, I ran the printing press, which was not for money. It was for all the paperwork of a bank. You know, I remember thinking, gosh, that's, you know, $15. That was a lot of money when that paycheck is small. But as our paychecks grow, let's face it, folks, 10% is still a lot of money. But it helps you to live on what is left. And so the bottom line is this, how we as a church, you need to understand that we lean toward the side of tithing. And for me, it is a discipline because it's just easy to forget. And so whether I was single, married, and single again now, since my wife's passed, it's like, you know, my tithing comes from my income, my base check. And I'm going to go back to when we were married. It's like, so what do we do with people going to Indonesia? What do we do with people raising money? What do we do with our college friends who are on the mission field? What do we do when the church asks for more money for a special need? Oh, well, we'll just deduct that from our tithe. No. When we talk about tithes and offerings, that is the offerings part of what we give. And so if my wife had a job, when she was working, she sold jewelry and stuff, you know, she'd work, she'd come home with $300 one night, $30. It was almost like a free, we had a little name for it, not free tithing, but she could tithe that or give that away any way she felt she wanted to. So, Nessie's going on a mission trip, she could give toward that. You know, somebody else is doing something special, she can give toward that. Women's ministry needed some money for something, she can give toward that. That all comes out of the extra money. If I did some speaking at another church or something, I would give to that, but we would bank that for those special occasions. And so then we were able to still give our tithe while also still, okay, Lord, again, we were on a pretty tight budget, helping out with those extra needs. Now, again, we can justify things because I could say, I was working my tail off, my wife had cancer. Lord, you know we need a vacation, so let's just take my tithe, or let's just take my wife's tithe, and let's help fund our little vacation. That just smells just not authentic and of a conflict of interest. And so we would have to earn more money to earn that vacation. Well, we earn more money, then we give more money away. But we just needed to be careful because it's a slippery slope to try to decide, is it really a need and a want? It's easy to take from the Lord's money. And so, again here, folks, even the bottom line for us here is so at New Life, when we're giving toward Vision 2020, for the new screen up here and for the kitchen and the parking lot and the new patio, that isn't your tithe. Well, it shouldn't be, because if the tithing goes down, one day we won't have a church service here. You'll come and go, what's going on? Well, giving was down, so I gave people the day off. I won't do that. But, you know, nobody likes to pay electric bills. I don't, you know. When your home needs a roof, nobody likes to pay for that stuff. But your tithing helps to all those things to happen. But you know, we have Indonesian, and as we get some of these bigger projects out of the way, we're going to be doing more and more outreach, both locally and across the globe. Well, we're going to be able to now build some of that into our budget as we get some of these other things off of our plate. And that's the whole purpose of Vision 2020. But there are going to be many opportunities to give and to extend really beyond some of our comfort zones. So that, it's confusing at times because I think the heart of most of you here is that you really want to honor God with your life, with your time, and with your money, but I just don't know what to do. And I've talked to people who have made some decisions that almost make it impossible for them to live. And so as they've bailed themselves out of those poor decisions, investments, they've made a commitment to step up their tithe to where they know it should be. I've talked to people that says, there is no way I'm giving $15,000 a year to my church. No way. Person was earning $150,000. And he says, there's no way you give. I says, you can call, I can print out my statement, and you can take a look at that. And so as really giving is a reflection of your discipleship, of your love and following Jesus. As this gentleman joined a life group, as he became committed to serving, he loved working on vehicles. And so he'd work on many people's cars who couldn't afford it. Once he goes, Juno, I gave my whole Christmas bonus. We tithed it, which was more than we ever gave any year of our life. And so it was really just getting in the habits of that. It was trying to think through, you know, yes, I should be. I really want to, but we really forget to. A 5-year study that culminated in 2013 revealed that only 10 to 25% of families in the church tithe. Looking at this from another perspective, out of 247 U.S. citizens who claim to be Christians, really only 1.5 million tithe. And if those of you who are math majors, that's less than 1%. Again, if people tithe, and you've heard this before, we would not need to be relying probably on the federal government for health care for many people. If everybody here tithe, and I'm just going to pick on Ryan because you're sitting there and I won't offend you on this subject. And Ryan says, oh my gosh, I just ran over something and blew out all four tires in the minivan. And if Ryan's tithing, then I would love to be able to say, here's your check for four tires. Go get them. And we would be able to do that. Math majors, you could easily run that equation and to know that we would have more money than we would ever know what to do with. That what we could, like the Second Corinthians passage, where we could give away so much money that people would be going, oh my gosh, look at what that church is doing. I'm going to go join that church. Because if I have a need, they're going to help meet it. But that need is met because people tithe. And so, again, tithing doesn't save me. Tithing doesn't get me to heaven. Jesus does that. The same thing with your time and serving. Your service doesn't get you to heaven. Jesus does that. But that your time, your treasure, and your talent, they are all a reflection of your commitment to this Jesus who has saved you from an eternity without him. Let's take a look, folks, at 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. And again, it is the love of money. It isn't that money is evil. And so let's just be clear. I mean, without money, yeah, money does make things happen. And many of us know, and maybe you've been in that place once in a while, where you can get the overtime, you can do this, and it's like you just want to rake that money in as much as you can. And all of a sudden, you've made commitments, or you realize, gosh, my family life has just gone down the toilet because I was getting all this overtime. And do I need it? No. But do I want it? Yes. Because it helps the bank account. It helps the bottom line. But there are people who have literally, probably overstatement, sold their souls for the almighty dollar. And this is what this is talking about. And you know then that where everything is just so money-oriented that they have no priority in life but the dollar bill. And we know that our priority is our relationship with God and how we share that with others. Then let's take a look at Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And our treasure is our faith in what Jesus means to us. And if that's our highest priority, he will help you weed through and process this whole idea about giving and what is best to give. It isn't about the idea of, well, where your treasure is there your heart will be also. Well, how do you know where your treasure is? Well, look at your calendars. Where do you, besides work, where do you spend most of your time? What are you doing? What are you not doing? That's a good reflection. You know the saying, follow the paper trail. So how are you spending your time? How are you spending your money? And you'll soon realize, you know, any course on budgeting says, write it down, write it down, write it down for a month, and then look it over. Then you can realize, oh, I've spent $85 on coffee. It adds up. Oh, well, I could be going to I don't want to slam any. I could be going to a fast food chain coffee and get it for $1.50 versus $4.50 or $5 at another chain. But just follow the paper trail. Or nowadays, follow the digital trail. Look it up online. You can see where you're paying. He said, okay, Lord, help me to nudge that. Most of us can't make a drastic change. And God just wants to know where your heart is. And then I think Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 16, 2 are a great reminder for some of us who sort of, I never carry a checkbook. But this has been helpful, even though there weren't checks back in Paul's days. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so when I come, no collections will have to be made. I'm just looking here at the first day of the week, call it a paycheck. If the first expense we have is to the church, and with folks on our app, on our website, with your bank, you can have that deduction made automatically. So you're not going, oops, I forgot. Oops, I forgot. And then 3 months later, it's like, now, when did I give? Follow the paper trail, you can figure it out. But I just found it's a real easy way for me not to forget where my heart is. Because you get so busy with life that you can legitimately forget to bring your checkbook and give to the Lord. I know for many of us, it's easier to not talk about this. I think we've drunk the Kool-Aid that says money is not a topic for church. And yet the reality is it's one of the most talked about subjects in Scripture. And again, we can have tunnel vision if we don't talk about it with others. When my wife was alive, I could talk about it. We talked about it a lot. You know, what are we doing? Where are we going? As a single person, there are several people that know where I'm spending my money. And the more you talk about it, the more it becomes very natural. And so I encourage you to find somebody, another couple, maybe it's somebody in your life group. You know, you're not going to post it on Facebook. I would not suggest that. But just to have conversations with people that share your value. My mortgage guy knew I tithed. So he says, when we were in Arizona, you could buy a house way up here. It's like, no, I can't. And he says, yeah, you're right, you can't, because you give this much, so this should be the price you're looking for a home, which made it so much easier. Because you know, and I know, when you go looking for that car or that home, it's just easier to bump it up. Oh, yeah, I can stretch it. It's only this much, but where is that money coming from? Well, you've stretched it. And so in all of our ways, acknowledge him. That includes our money. And he will direct thy paths. I'm not saying when you give your tithe, God's going to give it back to you with 10, 20, 30, 40% interest. I'm not going down that road. But what I can say is that God will meet all of your needs if you keep God first. All of your needs will be met. and then some. And as we do that, whether if you're on the side of, you know what, I'm just going to give until it hurts, because that's just who I am, okay, give until it hurts. And if you're on the side of, you know, I'm going to tithe or work on that, wonderful. Collectively, God can use us to make a huge impact in our community and around the world because of your love for Jesus and how you put your money where your faith is and to live life a little differently. God's people said, amen. Well, thank you all for not walking out. We're going to continue to worship. And worship isn't just the sermon, but worship is also our response, and that's what the idea of our offering is. We don't collect your offering, we receive it, because you are giving to the Lord to use that. So our response time is a time when we receive your offering. It's also a great reminder that, you know what, this money doesn't control me, but God controls me. So this response time is a time where you can give your offerings. It's a time when you can come up front or in the back, and we'll have people walking around. If you can't get up there, you can take the bread and the cup as a reminder of the sacrifice that Jesus has done for you, his life, his death, and his resurrection. You can light a candle up front or in back as a way to say, Jesus, I need your light to shine in my bank account. I need your light to change my heart, to make me not so greedy, to make me more sensitive to others. Now, there's no power in the flame. The power is in Jesus. But the flame's a nice reminder for us. You can go to the back corner and write your prayer concern and drop it in a plate there. And our prayer team will be praying for you all week long. And obviously, we can sing and share our praises to the Lord. So, people of God, let's continue to worship together.